Good morning, church. Awesome. So we started our new series last week, Send Me, I'll Go. And Jono started the series with an awesome explanation of Pentecost Sunday and what that meant for the believers and what that means for us now. And this week, I will tell you a secret. Daniel was going to preach today. And on Friday, the Holy Spirit was like, no, you're going to preach. And I was like, you're so funny. And then I wrote my sermon in like an hour. And I was still a little unsure of it. I will tell you that. But then this morning, everything that has happened so far is well in line with what God has given me today. So he is doing something incredible in this place. And I believe that this message this morning will change some hearts, will change some situations, and hopefully will bring us closer to becoming like Christ and listening to the voice of God and obeying him. So I'm going to pray really quickly before we start this morning. Father God, thank you, Lord, for the words that you've given us. Lord God, thank you that we get to be vessels that carry your word and carry your presence with us everywhere that we go. Lord God, we pray this morning that we are open to the Holy Spirit, that we would listen and we would obey. And Father God, that we would have the strength to tell people about you. Lord God, that we would not be frightened or downcast. Lord God, that we would stand firm in your word and who you are and carry that with us where we go, wherever that may be. Lord God, we pray this morning that you are speaking to people and telling them what their next steps are. Lord, that you are notifying people, that you're speaking straight to their hearts this morning, and that we would respond with, yes, God, send me, I will go. In your precious name we pray, amen. Awesome. So this morning I am going to be talking to you about Gideon. And that is not Gideon Gillam, that is Gideon from the Bible. So we are in Judges at this point in time. And Judges was a part of history where Israel had no king. It was God put in charge judges, right? And these were the people that led Israel. And Israel was going through this cycle of disobey God, get real sad, God would save them, they praise him for a little bit, and then it starts all over again. Then they would forget what he did, and then they would get real sad, and they would not listen, they would praise other gods, and then they would be like, yo, help us, and God would rescue them. And literally, it just happened over and over and over again. So this is what my... Have you ever actually read the little blurb at the start of each of your books in the Bible? They're so interesting. They give you so much information. This is what mine says. It says, this book tells the story of Israel after Joshua died. The heroes of this book are called judges. God gave the people judges to help them when things were bad. When the people loved God, things were good. And when the people forgot God, things were bad. The stories in this book all follow the same pattern. One, the people of Israel loved God and lived in peace. Two, the people of Israel forgot God and worshipped false gods. Three, God punished the people. He sent another nation to fight and rule over them. Four, the people of Israel turned to God and asked him to forgive them. Five, God forgave the people and sent a judge to help them. Just the same cycle over and over and over again for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. One of the things that really stuck out to me while reading Judges recently is God does this wonderful thing. Actually, it's not just Judges. It happens over and over again. God does this wonderful thing for the people of Israel. And then they so quickly forget. It's right in front of their faces. And then, you know, Moses comes down the mountain and here they are just worshipping a cow. Guys, what? You literally just came out of Egypt. What are you doing? But they're human, and so are we. And so often the miracle is right in front of us, and then we just go on our way and just forget that God is even there. Anyway, that's a side note, a little rant. So we're going to start in Judges 6 this morning. So we are at this point in time, so where it says, the Israelites had turned away from God, and as punishment, they were oppressed by the Midianites for 7 years, which doesn't seem that long, but when you find out what the Midianites were doing to them, it would be a long time. They devastated Israel's crops and livestock. When Israel planted things, the Midianites would just come along and destroy it. They left the people in poverty. The Israelites called out to God to help them, and God sent a prophet. It doesn't actually say in this instance who the prophet was, but God sent a prophet to remind them of his past deliverance and to tell them of their disobedience in worshipping other gods. God sent an angel to talk to Gideon, and this is what he said. So we're going to start here at verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He said, "Mighty warrior, the Lord is with you." "But, sir," Gideon replied, "you say the Lord is with us. Then why has all of this happened? Where are all of the wonderful things he has done? Our parents told us about them. They said, 'Didn't the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has deserted us. He has handed us over to Midian." The Lord turned to Gideon. He said, "You are strong. Go and save Israel from the power of Midian. I am sending you." "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I possibly save Israel? My family is the weakest in the tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least important member of my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, so you will strike down the men of Midian all at one time." Gideon replied, "If you are pleased with me, give me a special sign, then I will know it's really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back. I'll bring my offering and set it down in front of you." The Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went and prepared a young goat. From more than half a bushel of flour, he made a bread without using yeast. He put the meat in a basket. In a pot, he put soup that was made from the meat, and then he brought it all and offered it to the Lord under the oak tree. The angel of God spoke to Gideon. He said, "Take the meat and the bread, place them on this rock. Excuse me. Then pour out the soup." So Gideon did it. I can't imagine what this would have been like for Gideon, for this angel to appear and tell him, "Hey, this is what's going to happen." And how many times has God done this, right? He sends an angel. He says, "Hey, this is going to happen." The person goes, "No, that couldn't possibly happen." I can think of quite a few off the top of my head. We're looking at you, Mary. We're looking at you, Moses. "No, God, couldn't possibly happen. I'm not good at speaking. I'm lowly. I can't do it." And then he says, "Show me a sign." So then a little bit further on, this is not going to be on the screen. It says that he puts the bread and the soup on the rock, and he does. Fire blazed out of the rock. It burned up the meat and the bread, and then the angel of the Lord disappeared. That would have been incredible to witness. Jono talked a little bit last week about how fire was used so often in the Old Testament, and this is one of those times that God uses fire in such a incredible way, just to immediately burn up what was there. It would have been so hot and so amazing, and just like, did that just happen? I just put that there and now it's gone. But Gideon is still like, I don't know. It doesn't seem right to me. So it says later in verse 25, again, this is not going to be on the screen. That same night, the Lord spoke to Gideon. He said, "Get the second bull from your father's herd. Get the one that is 7 years old. Tear down the altar your father built in honor of Baal. Cut down the pole that is beside it. The pole is used to worship the goddess Asherah." then build the right kind of altar. Build it in honor of the Lord your God. Build it on top of this hill. Then use the wood from the Asherah pole you cut down. Sacrifice the second bull as a burnt offering. Gideon obeyed God, and he did this. But he was obviously still feeling very, very uncertain about this whole situation. And so Gideon does what any of us would do. He does it in the middle of the night so that nobody will see him, because Gideon is a scaredy cat and so am I. And so he goes and he chops down the pole and he builds the altar and he does the things that God tells him to do in the cover of darkness. Because he's like, the people in town, they can't know it's me. I don't want anyone to know. But they found out that it was him. And so they came for Gideon and they were like, why are you cutting down our poles and breaking down our altars? What are you doing? And his father comes out and he says, if Baal is a real God, then he should defend himself. Why are you here doing this? And so they just let it go. That's it. That's the end of that. Don't worry about it. And so they're like, all right, cool. Well, we've got this altar to God now. So then Gideon tells the people of Manasseh that they're going to war against the Midianites. And at this point, you know that they've been oppressed. And so they would have been scared and they would have been, again, in that same situation that Gideon was in. Oh my goodness, is this actually going to happen? I can't believe it. Surely God is not going to do this. But Gideon readies the Israelites for battle. He is empowered by God's spirit. However, he still asks God for another sign. How many times has God given you a word, given you an instruction, given you something to do, and you're like, if these next three traffic lights are green, then I'm going to do the thing that you told me to do. Just do the thing. He asked you, you do it. It doesn't matter that it's scary. Sometimes it just is. You get it told, you do it. Everything's great. Maybe sometimes everything's not great, but you do it anyway because God told you to do it. You don't sit there and be like, oh, but actually, God, can you just send lightning from heaven? I know that it's 38 degrees outside and it's sunny and it hasn't rained for days, but if the lightning strikes this one point, we're good to go. No, stop testing the Lord. Just do the thing. So Gideon says to God, this is verse 36, and this is up here. You promised you would use me to save Israel. Please do something for me. I'll put a piece of wool on the threshing floor. Suppose dew is only on the wool tomorrow morning, and suppose the ground all around it is dry. Then I will know that you will use me to save Israel. I'll know that your promise will come true. That's the first time that, the second time now that he's asked God for a sign. And that's what happened. However, Gideon got up early the next day. He squeezed out the dew of the wool. The water filled a bowl. And then Gideon says to God, hey, don't let your anger burn against me. Let me ask you for just one more thing. I just need you to show me one more time. Let me use the wool for one more test. And this time, make the wool dry and cover the ground with dew. So that night, God did it. Only the wool was dry, the ground all around was covered with dew. Now, I think God is so kind for entertaining Gideon on this, because he didn't actually have to do that. He was just like, Gideon, go and do the thing. And Gideon's like, just one more time. I just need one more. Just one more. I'm going to give you a little secret. This is not the last time that Gideon asks for another sign, by the way. This whole time, God's like, do the thing. And he's like, yeah, but can you show me again? And he's like, yeah, all right, come on. Come on, come on, come on. So Gideon prepares the army, the Israelites, who hadn't been to battle in a long time, to attack the Midianite army. God told Gideon that he had too many men, knowing that Israel would take credit for the victory. So God told Gideon to send home the fearful men, the guys that were a little bit scared to go and fight Midian. Do you know how many left? 22,000. 22,000 were like, yeah, this is not for me. I'm going to be real with you. I got things to do. I got a family to raise. I don't want to go to war. I got a cat to look after at home. Can't do it. 22,000 people left. They left 10,000 people behind. So he starts with 32. He's got 10 now. In Judges 7, verse 4, we read a little bit where it says, the Lord spoke to Gideon again. He said, there are still too many men, so take them down to the water. I will sort them out for you there. If I say, this one will go with you, he will go. But if I say, that one will not go with you, he will not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord spoke to him. He said, some men will drink the way that dogs do. They will lap up the water with their tongues. Separate them from those who get down on their knees to drink. 300 men lapped up the water. They brought it up to their mouths with their hands. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. So only 300. 300 men. I already read that. My bad. The Lord spoke to Gideon. He said, with the help of 300 men who lapped up the water, I will save you. I will hand you the Midianites over to you. Let all the other men go home. So he starts with 32,000 men and he is left with 300. Now, I'm not going to do the math for you, but that's like 1%, I think. God sent them home so that God would get the glory. Because if Israel had gone to war with 32,000 men to fight the Midianites, then Israel would have come home being like, woo, we're so good, look at us fight. We haven't done it in a while, but how good was that, guys? You know, they don't get to do that. There's only 300 of them. Oh man, Gideon, he cracks me up. That night, God reassured Gideon again, yet again, by telling him to go and spy on the Midianite camp. And what does he find when he gets to the Midianite camp? He arrived just as a friend was telling him about his dream. He said, I had a dream. He was saying, a round loaf of barley bread came rolling into the camp of Midian. It hit a tent with great force. The tent turned over and fell down flat. His friend replied, that can only be the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash. Gideon is from Israel. God has handed the Midianites over to him. He has given him the whole camp. These two guys, the Midianites, who are just hanging out, already know that they're going to lose this battle. Now, it doesn't say what happens to them. It doesn't say whether they go home because they don't want to die. But they already know. If God is behind Israel, Israel is going to succeed. That is what they know. That is what they've seen. Even the other surrounding nations of Israel at this point in time know that if God is behind Israel, Israel will succeed. They all know, they've seen what the Israelite army does. They've seen the miracles that God performs. They know about the parting of the Red Sea. They know about the Israelites being rescued from Egypt. They already know. And yet Israel forgets again and again and again and again and again and again and again. They're not any different from us. Just that their story is written down. Because if mine was written down, I'm sure it would say, and Megan forgot again and again and again and again and again and again and again. So Gideon goes back to the Israelite camp and he worships God. He says, thank you for showing me that. We are so ready. How are we going to do this? God, you're in control. We got this. You're awesome. We give you praise. And he readies the 300 men for battle. Now, I don't know if you know what a crowd of 300 people looks like, but if you were at the birthday service last year, that's about 300 people. That, in fact, there are a little bit more than 300 people here. That's it. That's the entire army. As far as armies are concerned, that's not a very big one. It's a little army. He divides them into three groups. So we've got 100, 100, 100. That math I can do. He gave each man a trumpet and a jar with a torch inside. Now, I was tempted to bring you a jar with a torch inside, but the fire safety in me says, no, we don't do fire on the stage. So just imagine that. If you've been to a hipster wedding, you will have seen a jar with a torch inside. Just imagine that, all right? And then they've got their trumpets. So God says to them, this is what you're going to do. So at night, they surround the Midianite camp. They blew their trumpets. They broke their jars. And they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And then the most incredible thing happens. The Midianites panic because it's the middle of the night. It's pitch black and there's people shouting. They turn their swords on each other and start fighting each other in the darkness and take care of themselves. The Israelites didn't have to do anything. The rest of them flee. Gideon sends word to the other Israelite tribes that are around. They pursue the fleeing enemy. And the tribe of Ephraim captured the two Midianite leaders and brought their heads to Gideon at the Jordan River. What an incredible, incredible story of listening, doing exactly what you are told, and then God coming through. It says later in Judges 8, again, this is not going to be on the screen, Israel brought Midian under their control. Midian wasn't able to attack Israel anymore, so the land was at peace for 40 years. The peace lasted as long as Gideon was living. And then his little secret, Gideon dies, the Israelites forget, and they go back to worshipping other gods. They're a mess at this point, don't worry about them. But God does this incredible thing for the Israelites. And he shows them his goodness and his mercy and his kindness, and he rescues them from what they're in. Around 13 years ago, we did this, bless you, this exact sermon series at youth. And we had this battle cry. Do you remember this? You don't remember this? Do you remember this? And whoever was preaching or whoever got up to bring the word or whatever they were doing would say, send me, and our youth kids would yell back, I'll go! And we would go, send me, and they'd go, I'll go! And they'd go, send me, I'll go! And it was rowdy and they were excited, and I don't think they truly understood what that meant. To say, send me, I will go. And now I know a lot of those youth kids are no longer in this church, and I hope that they are walking with the Lord, and I hope that the seed was planted and it was watered and it was, you know, that it grew into something incredible and beautiful. But I also know that some of that seed would have fallen on rough ground and that it wouldn't have. And so my hope and my prayer for you during this sermon series so that you would have the fervor of that youth ministry, but that it would resonate within your spirit and that you would understand the importance of what it means to say to God, send me, I will go. that you would pray and that you would listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when he says to you, hey, I think you need to, not I think, hey, you need to do this, that you would go, okay, God, whatever it is that you have for me, I'll do. And that might be scary. And that might be huge. Or it might just be showing love to your community and bringing the word of God to the city of Melbourne. Now, God called Gideon to battle the Midianites in flesh. And he may not be calling you to battle in flesh. He may not call you to join the army or join the air force or, you know, become a Navy SEAL. But he is certainly calling us to battle in the spirit. And he's given us the armor of God to be able to do so. Paul writes in Ephesians 6 from verse 10. We're going to read through what the armor of God looks like. Finally, let the Lord make you strong. Depend on his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Then you can stand firm against the devil's evil plans. Our fight is not against human beings. It is against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. It is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly world. So put on all God's armor. Evil days will come, but you will be able to stand up to anything. And after you've done everything you can, you will still be standing. So stand firm. Put on the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the armor of godliness on your chest. Wear on your feet what will prepare you to tell the good news of peace. Also pick up the shield of faith. With it, you can put out all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Holy Spirit. The sword is God's word. At all times, pray by the power of the Spirit. Pray all kinds of prayers. Be watchful so that you can pray. Always keep on praying for all of God's people. We don't battle against flesh. We battle against principalities and powers. And this is only possible because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Jono spoke last week about the outpouring of God's Spirit at Pentecost and how that same power is available to us as believers. He dwells inside us. And so I'm going to invite the worship team back up this morning. And we are going to battle in the Spirit this morning. Do you know, it's so funny when the Holy Spirit gets everyone on the same track. Oh, I love him so much. So I wrote down this on Friday that this is how we were going to end the service today. And then Emily got up and said, we're going to pray for people. And then Reese got up and he said, we're going to spend time here and we're not done yet. We're going to pray for people. And neither one of them had any idea that this was written in my little book here. But God wants to do something today. We are going to go to battle. We have on the armor of God. And as Reese said, it's written right here, same thing. If there's a person you're believing for, a healing you're believing for, financial breakthrough you're believing for, we are going to battle today. So if I can get you to stand, I'm going to read out a quote from one of my favorites. Now, Daniel, take your guess. Is it Spurgeon or is it C.S. Lewis? It is Spurgeon. He says this, remember too that if you did not see any souls converted, yet God would be glorified by your exaltation of Christ and your talking of Christ and your earnest prayers and tears for the good of others. You are unto God a sweet savour of Christ as well in them that perish as in them that are saved. you will have done your duty. And so in doing so, you will be accepted to the Most High. To the battle then, my brother, to the battle, for you cannot fail. Remember the promises, let them come up before your mind. Believe them and go into the strength of them and go in the strength of them. I fully believe that there is going to be breakthrough in this house this morning. I don't know what it is that you're believing for. I don't know whether it's your family, your friends, whether it's for healing in yourself, whether it's for financial breakthrough, whatever it's for, our God is so good. And he loves us so much. And so this morning, our ministry team down the front here is going to be available to stand and pray with you. But you are going to pray. We are going to stand together this morning and we are going to raise our voice and God will hear our cries and hear our prayers this morning. All right, are you ready? I'll start and then you guys can join. Father God, this morning we declare your goodness and your mercy and your grace over this house. Lord God, we raise our prayers and our cries to you this morning. Father God, we pray for salvation across this city, Lord God, across this country, Lord God. We declare that Australia is going to turn back to you. Father God, we know that this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit and that you will have your way in this house, Lord God, that you will have your way in this country, Lord God. We declare healing, Lord God. We declare provision this morning. Lord God, we declare your goodness this morning. Lord God, that your goodness and your mercy would follow us all the days of our lives. Lord God, thank you that we get to carry you with us wherever we go. Lord God, that we would be so evident of your Holy Spirit to people. Father God, this morning we pray that you would send us and that we would go. Lord God, this morning that you are calling out to our spirits and you are telling us what it is that you want us to do. Lord God, that we would respond with courage and with faith, that we would step into what you've called us to do. Lord God, that you walk with us, that you go before us, and that your mercy follows us all of our life. Lord God, we thank you that we are co-heirs with Christ. Lord God, that we get to carry you and show the world who you are and what you do. God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your faithfulness. Jesus, this morning we pray, have your way, Holy Spirit, have your way.